Hey there, successful mama. So one of my friends here in Houston wants to come to the retreat, and we're having this little chat about it, and she's like, it just seems kind of unnecessary to stay at the hotel. And I was like, whoa, hold on. It's entirely necessary. You have to stay at the hotel. Like, why? Because when you're home, you see the mess, you see the clutter, you see the laundry, you see the kids, all that responsibility is visually there as a reminder of physically that weight on your shoulders. Like, what are you carrying around all that responsibility? And when you're away from your house, you feel lighter. Like, that's one of the reasons we love vacation so much, right? It's the like freedom and the low stress, right? It's the same reason that vacations with kids are not actually vacations, they are trips, because you brought the majority of your responsibility with you to another location. But like, let me not get on that soapbox. So the whole idea of getting away is so that you can get away from your stress. Like, giving yourself that space to breathe, to not be responsible for the clock of like drop-offs in 30 minutes, nap time's almost over, pickups in 15 minutes. Like, for people who don't have a sturdy internal clock, that constant schedule keeping is a huge burden. Like, when I went away in February for the first time ever, no family, just by myself, like I told you about a couple episodes ago, I got one of those getaway cabins, and the best part of that time away was the freedom of not being this schedule keeper. Like, I didn't realize how heavy of a burden that was on me. And that's part of the reason of why I'm doing this retreat. Like, I want to take that burden for you and carry the schedule burden, the planning burden, the snack burden, all of that for you so that you can simply be there. Like, just enjoy and rest. Like, as moms, we don't ever get that. We don't ever have somebody carrying that for us. Are you putting yourself on the priority list? You need a break. You need to take care of you. This isn't a luxury item. Taking care of yourself is like a basic requirement for staying alive. This taking care of you has to happen. That is what this weekend is for. Like, you need time away to reconnect with yourself and remember the person that you are without all the stuff weighing on you. Who are you? And look, if it's not with me, figure out how to make it happen for yourself. But like, take a break, not a, like a fake break, but like a real break. Because you cannot carry this stress around forever. You will break. So take a break before you break. But find a way to take a break. The early bird tickets for the retreat are available through Monday, August 8th. So 8-8. There's a payment plan available if that's helpful for you. But talk to your partner. Make plans for who's got the kids and take this weekend to take care of yourself. The website is patriciasung.com/ADHD-mom-retreat, or you can just go to my website, Motherhood and ADHD. You'll see it there at the top. There's a tab. But think about this over the next month. How can you take care of yourself? Grab your early bird ticket if you can decide by Monday, 8-8. If not, the tickets are still available through September. So the website is patriciasung.com/ADHD-mom-retreat. Come on, come join us, hang out with your fellow ADHD moms, and enjoy a weekend away. All right, now on to this week's episode. Hey there, successful mama. It's your friend, Patricia Sung. How's your prioritizing? Are you making space for what you need? What matters to you? Are you resting? I recently asked myself these questions, and the answers were, terrible. No, I don't know. And no. So it was time for some reflection. How do I serve you well and take care of me and my family at the same time? I know that I have to cut back on something in order to do more of another, which is not the solution I want to hear, but it's the realistic one. And that means taking a break from something I really love, the podcast, and hanging out with you each week. This is a very adulty decision on my part because it's not what I want to do. What I want to do is make more episodes. I also want to spend time with my family during summer break, and I want to create space to serve my community better. This is a skill I've been working on with my ADHD coach, is how can responsible Patricia and fun Patricia both get what they want? So when I look at this summer and ask myself, how can I serve you better? Well, there's two places you can hang out with me. Either join our free Facebook group, where there is a huge community of mamas who are amazing. We'll be there to answer your questions and cheer you on. And I love spending quality time with you guys in that group. Or you can join our student community because all of my students are invited to our Wednesday meetings. I've also got a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff going on to prepare for the fall, and I know I'll be at the zoo and swim lessons and camp and all that. So that means this summer, to make space for all that good stuff, I'll be sharing some oldies but goodies on the podcast straight out of the vault this summer. Now, most of these are in the first 25 episodes I ever did. Full disclosure, total perfectionist moment. I know that these first episodes are not as good as the ones I do now because I've had way more practice. But I also know that there are some really great skills and information in this first group of podcasts, so I'm looking my perfectionism square in the face and saying to it, no, I will not let you stop me from sharing important things with my mamas. One thing that I've learned the hard way in this podcast is that we learn by doing. We figure out what works by doing, not thinking about doing. And this is one way that I can be myself with you and say, Emily, I know that these are not the best episodes, but I know that they're really good information for you, so don't judge me, okay? I chose episodes that will help you get ready for summer, support you with some integral support skills for ADHD, and get ready for the new school year. So I'll see you in the fall with some new stuff, and hopefully I'll see you either in my student community or in my Facebook group. I'll link all that in the show notes so you know where to find me. Until then, talk to you soon, successful mama. Are you overwhelmed by motherhood and barely keeping your head above water? Are you confused and frustrated by how all the other moms make it look so easy? You can't figure out how to manage the chaos in your mind, your home, or your family. I get you, mama. Parenting with ADHD is hard. Here is your permission slip to let go of the Pinterest-worthy visions of organization and structure fit for everyone else. Let's do life like our brains do life, creatively, lovingly, and with all our might. When we embrace who we are and how our brains work, we can figure out how to live our lives successfully, and in turn, lead our families well. At the end of the day, we just want to be good moms, but spoiler alert, you are already a great mom. ADHD does not mean you're doomed to be a hot mess, mama. You can rewrite your story from shame spiral to success story. And I'll be right here beside you to cheer you on. Welcome to Motherhood in ADHD.
Hey there, successful mama. It's your friend, Patricia. I am so excited that you are here today to chat with me. And I can't believe that right now I'm recording this and it's the end of July and I'm talking about back to school, which as a former teacher, like poking my eyeballs out with sporks, discussing school in July. But I just felt it was really important. And I was thinking about this earlier this week because I had pulled out my son's backpack off the hook that it lives on during the school year and we needed to use it for camp. And I opened the backpack to put his camp stuff in and lo and behold, I had never gone through his backpack on the last day of school. And there were still like his sweet thank you notes from his teachers for the end of year presents we gave them and his name tag with the adorable little picture on it, his change of clothes for emergencies that no longer fit him now. And I was just like, oh my goodness, I'm usually on top of this kind of thing. And I genuinely did not realize that this backpack was still full of school stuff. And it made me think about how my routines are just so ingrained in me and they make my life so wonderful. I know most people with ADHD think routine is a four-letter word, but routines allow me to get done the stuff that I have to get done so that I have time to have fun and enjoy my life. Like I have to get laundry done no matter if I do it on a regular basis or I wait until there's a mountain. Either way, the laundry's got to get done. Like people need clean underwear at some point. So your routine, the way you customarily do things, is either one that you have planned for and you have made it work for you, or your routine is to be a hot mess. And you know I'm all about getting off the hot mess express and bringing calm into our lives. So this is also for myself because I have been struggling so hard, y'all, with the summer transition. Like every week is different. It's like one week we're going to a camp, then we're going to VBS, the next week we have swim lessons. And it's been so fun. And I'm so thankful that my kids have these opportunities to enrich themselves over the summer. But like it's killing me because every week is different and I'm trying to get into a rhythm and there's never a rhythm. It's always something new. And so I started thinking about like, what do I need to do to get ready for the school year? Because obviously, like with the end of school, things got crazy and our usual habit of cleaning out backpacks as soon as we got home didn't happen. Somehow the backpack ended up back on the hook and there it sat the last 2 months with all the stuff in it. So I am actually excited to get back into the rhythm of things, and I made a list for myself, and hopefully this helps you as well, of all the things that we can do to prepare for the transition and make it as smooth as possible. Because we all know there's going to be hiccups, there are going to be things that we didn't think about, but if we have a plan and preparation in place for all the things we do know are coming or have thought about that are coming, then we have time to deal with the hiccups or the surprises with grace. And the example that was just really glaring me in the face just this past couple weeks is I've had this sinus infection that I've been fighting for 3 weeks. And there were a solid like 4 or 5 days at the beginning where I was just a mess in bed, just doing the bare minimum to get by. And like, the house didn't fall apart. Laundry was caught up. So the fact that I didn't do any for 4 or 5 days was totally fine. Like those routines are what kept me sane and didn't feel so stressed about relaxing and trying to rest and know that my family was still like fairly together. So here's my list of preparation that we can get done before school starts, just to make our lives a little bit easier. First one is make a foundational schedule. This is something that I learned from Hal Elrod. He has the whole like Miracle Morning series, is that a foundational schedule runs through like what your week just generally looks like. Like, you know, and these are things that happen every week. So it's not like random things thrown in, but like, you know, we go to school at this time, pickup is at this time. On Mondays, we have gymnastics at 5:30, those kind of things where it's always happens every week. You can find a form on Google of a foundational schedule and fill it in. Like I have one that I downloaded off of Excel that I can modify easily. And I want you to hang it up somewhere that you'll see it all the time and make sure you have a photo of it on your phone so you have it with you. And this gives you a chance to kind of look ahead and see, do I have any conflicts? Like, did I schedule two things at one time? Like, two kids have to be in an activity at the same time, and I can't obviously be in two places at once. Make sure that you also put on there some downtime. You know what? Wednesday is our chill day. We're not doing stuff. This is our day to be at home eating dinner as a family, or whatever you want that to look like. But having that idea of generally how things are going to run on a week allows you to know what's generally happening. And then it's a lot easier to make decisions on things. Like if all of a sudden your son's like, hey, I really want to play soccer with so-and-so, the practices are on Mondays and Thursdays at 6:00. You can look at your foundational schedule and know right away, hey, that's something that we can't do. Or, okay, well, let's think about it. That might be an option. This also is a time to plan out those extracurricular activities. If you know that your kids are going to be in swim lessons year round, then go ahead and figure out all the things that you can, basically, and put them in that foundational schedule. So anything that you can think ahead on, get it locked in, signed up, registrations done. Make sure then that all of your activities are in your calendar, whether you use your phone or a planner, paper-wise, whatever you do. Make sure you have your system set up and that everything that you already know about is already entered in there. So dates, meetings, you know, field trips. So that way as it comes up, you already have a system in place for how you're going to keep track of everything. I personally keep all of my appointments in terms of I have to be there at a certain time is all on my phone calendar. And then in terms of my to-do list, I keep that all in my bullet journal on paper. And I write out my schedule for the week. But I like that my phone reminds me 15 minutes before I need to be somewhere in case I forget, whereas my paper calendar is not going to remind me. Quit looking at Facebook and get out the door. Okay, next item. Make a folder or like a box or somewhere that all the school papers that need you to do something about are going to go. When your kids come in the door after school and they're unloading backpacks, like, you know, when you have like 43,000 forms that you have to send back in that first week of school, like the kids know anything that mom needs to fill out goes in this box or this folder. And I think it's really important too that I mentioned, like, if you have big kids, they need to do their part first. They shouldn't just be dumping all that junk in a folder. Like, you want to make it age appropriate. But at the same time, I feel like as moms, a lot of times we don't realize that our kid can do new things because we always see them as our baby. Whereas their teacher, who only sees them as a fifth grader, knows what fifth graders can do and will have them doing things that you're like, oh, I never really thought about that. I would have parents be like, what, the kids cleaned out their own lockers? And I'm like, yeah, I handed them some spray bottle and a paper towel. I'm like, I had to break up some spray bottle fights here and there, but like, they all know how to wipe down and clean stuff. And I had parents who were like, what? because that's still their baby, you know? Like, you don't think your baby can push that hard because they're baby. But really, like, kids can do a lot of good stuff much younger than I think we push them for. So anyway, getting back off my soapbox, sorry. You know, if your kid has, like, for example, like, if your high schooler is filling out paperwork to get a parking spot at school, like, they're in high school, like, they should fill out all the stuff that they can fill out and then give the paper to you, not just hand you a pile of forms to fill out. Like, I'm sorry, if you can drive a car, like, you can fill out a form, you know? Okay, so once you have your spot where papers are going to go, that the kids know, like, I'm going to be getting this out of my bag, I put it here, and then when you're done with it, you can give it back to them. Now, keep in mind, if you have a lot of kids, you might want to make, like, a folder or box for each kid, if that makes life easier. So just kind of, you know your boundaries. If you know you can look at it and tell which kid it's for, hey, go for it. If you're like, ooh, where did this come from? Then you might want to have different areas for different kids. Next item, create your launch pad for all of the kids' stuff, like backpacks, sports equipment, somewhere in the house where you know their stuff is going to live from when they get home from school to when they leave for school the next day. Obviously, like, you can go down the depths of Pinterest and find 43 million beautiful ideas to do this, but, like, it also could just be, like, a command hook in the hallway. Like, you don't have to get crazy here. Just know that, like, hey, all of Elijah's stuff is going to go in this spot. All of Joseph's stuff is going to go here. And the kids, get them in that habit of, like, your coat and your backpack and your mittens and your baseball bat. Like, all that stuff needs to live where it goes. And that way, at the end of the night, as part of your evening routine, you make sure everything's in the launch pad before they go to bed. Another area you'll need is a homework area if your kids are at that point. Where is going to be a space that they know they can go do their work, they're not going to get distracted. You know whether your kid can work at the kitchen table or whether they need to be in a quiet room. Have handy nearby all the usual supplies. Like, you don't need an Office Depot, but, like, you know, you have your pens and your pencils, erasers, rulers, you know, the few basic things that they're going to need frequently all in that one spot. Even if you put it in, like a shower caddy or something, that it doesn't have to be like this ordeal to get ready for homework time. It's like, you know where you're going. You know where the stuff is. Let's get her done.
Do you wish there was a way to feel confident about your day? To know exactly where you need to be, when you need to be there, and what you need to do today. I know what it's like to buy 15 different planners and not use any of them for more than a week or two. When you're tired of disappointing your family, your boss, and yourself. Imagine with me that tonight, when you look back at your day, you know that you did the things on your to-do list. You showed up well. You feel productive and accomplished. That's why I created Daily Planning for ADHD Moms, where I teach you how to keep a calendar and organize your to-do list. When you learn these skills from another ADHD brain in super short videos, they finally make sense. So now you'll be able to keep up with the commitments you've made and feel confident in how you're organizing your day. You'll walk away with an easy to stick to three-step system to keep up with your calendar and a simple way to sort through the giant to-do list and figure out what actually matters. Plus, we have a weekly accountability group so you can ask questions when you're stuck and jump back on the wagon when you fall off. Because you will fall off. That's just part of ADHD. But now you will know how to prepare for that. So if you're ready to figure out your day in a way that makes sense both for mom life and an ADHD brain, I want to help you make this happen. Join me at bit.ly/ADHD plan. That's bit.ly/ADHD plan. It's all lowercase letters. I cannot wait to see you feel confident and competent in how you run your family life.
Next item is the doozy. Write down a list of literally everything you are going to need for school time. I'm talking everything. This isn't just like school supplies, but doctor's appointments. Do they need a physical before they go back to school? Like, do you need a vaccination paper affidavit thingy? Do you need to have any meetings? Do you need to buy a new lunchbox? Do you have to do any registrations? Like, and I'm not just talking for school, like, do you have a registration for some extracurriculars or something? Make yourself a grocery list of all the food you're gonna need, like, for lunches and stuff. Easy dinners for that first couple of weeks where things are nutty and you don't want to be spending a lot of time slaving at the stove when you're trying to figure out all these papers and the homework and all that. If you need to work on any routines, make a list of that. Any sports stuff that's going on, like literally everything or activity or commitment or item you need to check off the list to have for school. Brainstorm all the things so that you have an idea of what it's going to look like for you to be successful when the year starts. Obviously, if you have little ones, you may not know all the things that are coming, but you can think of a lot of stuff. You can ask some friends that have kids who have been at that school before. You can figure out a good amount of those things, even if you've never done it before. Next item, cleaning out closets, drawers, etc. of all the things that your kids either don't fit in anymore or are damaged now. Pack up all the hand-me-downs for any younger siblings. Get out stuff that are your new quote-unquote hand-me-downs for this kid. Like, get out any like of your school appropriate clothing if your kid wears uniforms. Get all that out and make sure that their drawers and their closets are, and also think about the coat closet, things that they can utilize for the upcoming school year. Just get rid of all the stuff that you're not going to use. And then from there, that's when you can make your shopping list of, okay, you only have 3 pairs of pants. I need you to be able to get through the week. So we need to get you 2 or 3 more pairs of pants to get through this week. Once you know what you have, that's when you want to go shopping. Don't just go shopping and buy a bunch of stuff you don't need. I think a lot of times we buy way too much stuff for our kids. Like, they like to wear the same things all the time. It's like the 80-20 rule, Pareto's principle. Like, your kids are going to wear 20% of their clothes 80% of their time. My 4-year-old's super into dinosaurs right now, and so probably 6 days out of the week, he's wearing either a dinosaur shirt or a dinosaur shorts. Like, am I kind of bummed that we have dinosaurs all the time and he doesn't want to wear adorable polo shirts anymore? Yes, but like, that's what he's going to wear. So we don't need to buy 30 t-shirts for an elementary school kids. Like, they're not going to wear all those. Make sure you have enough for a week, maybe 2, if that's how long you take to do laundry, and then like, let it go. You don't need that much stuff for them, really. Okay, now that you have brainstormed all of these things, we're going to make a to-do list timeline, and you're going to work backwards. So, hey, 3 days before school, we want to have the backpacks ready. So that means I need to go school supply shopping the week before so that you don't have so many things crammed at the last minute that you're stressed out. And then you'll know, when do I need to really start getting these things ready? I would suggest having plenty of buffer room in there, like trying to have literally everything ready 3 days ahead or a week ahead, just so that you have time for disasters to pop up. Like, if your kid all of a sudden gets a broken leg 3 days before school and you're like, hey, I was supposed to be school shopping today, like, that's a problem. So give yourself plenty of room to do this in a low stress environment. Also, a great way to remove the burden from you is to start thinking about, what tasks can your kids do themselves? Like, we're teaching them life skills here. Our job is not to raise great kids, but to raise great adults. So what are the things that you can teach them to do for themselves so that your life is easier later? I know that teaching them things takes 400 times longer and it can be really frustrating, but look at it as an investment. You're sewing into them so that they can figure out how to do these things on their own, so that eventually you're not doing them at all. And if you use this to-do list timeline to prepare, then you're not rushed and then frustrated that your kid's not doing something. If you have the time to really show them, here's how you put away your backpack, here's where your stuff's gonna go, here's where I need you to put your papers when they come in, all that stuff is ways that we're making them great humans when they go off to college or the workforce and can like actually do their laundry on their own. It's important. All right, next item. Start your morning and evening routines at least a week before school starts. You already have so many new things going on the first week of school that we want to try to minimize the overload, not just for them, but for us as well. Like, if they're used to, like, before bed, making sure everything's ready for the morning, then on that first day of school, when they're like nervous and, you know, their tummy's kind of hurting, maybe they're feeling a little stressed or they're so excited that they're not really like paying attention to things, like, that's not the time to introduce a new routine of trying to like pack up your backpack and get out the door. You want to have that routine established so that the first week of school, you can be chatting with them about like, here's what you can do if you don't see any of your friends at lunchtime, as opposed to like, put it in your bag and get in the car, which I'm sure none of us have ever done. Anyways, what kind of routines am I talking about here? So like in the morning, things like getting up immediately, like make your bed, come down and eat your breakfast, go get upstairs, brush your teeth, get dressed, do any chores that you're responsible for, double check your launch pad that we talked about earlier is ready. Like, does it have all the things you need? And then go about your summer fun as usual, but get them in the habit of spending that first 20 to 30 minutes that they're up in getting everything ready for the day so that you can be in that routine of getting out the door on time when school hits. Bedtime routines. I like to look at my calendar for the next day. We talk about what we're going to be doing. That gives us a chance to prep our launch pad. Like, what things are we going to need? Okay, well, we have blah, blah, blah activity. We need these three sports equipment items. Choosing your clothes for the next day. So you already know what you have to do. So you know, like, what's an appropriate school outfit. We also, my son loves to ask Alexa what the weather is. So that way we know, like, oh, it's going to rain tomorrow. Okay, well, then we're going to choose different clothes. Getting ready for bed, then having a little, like, relaxing time, preferably no screens for, you know, whatever is appropriate for you. But, you know, I've been doing some reading about the blue light really inhibits our ability to make melatonin and fall asleep. And I love reading, and I often read on my book. I get library books on my phone app all the time. And here I'm reading like all this horrible stuff trying to go to sleep quickly. And so I'm trying to do a better job of just getting real books. But anyway, I'm getting off on a tangent. So, you know, give your kids a little time to relax, read a story, like, you know, play a board game, whatever it is to kind of like calm down. Please hear me. I'm not saying like no screens ever. I'm just saying like do it earlier so that your kids aren't looking at this blue light for, you know, the 20 minutes before bed or whatever it is. Anyway, sorry. Moving along. Next item. Moving our wake up and bedtimes back over like 1 or 2 weeks before school, because obviously we're in summer routine / non-routine right now. And I don't know about you, but like my kids are going to bed like probably an hour later than they normally do in the school year. And so, you know your kiddo, how long are they going to take to adjust to that new time? Like, how far off are you from the time where you really need to be getting up for school? You might have to start a solid 2 weeks before school, because you really want to have that week before school to already be in that new time so that your kid's used to it, as opposed to just like, I know they always recommend, they're like, oh, well, just move it up the 3 days before. But like, let's be honest here. Like, I'm not a morning person. Like, if you want me to get up 2 hours earlier, like adjusting my bedtime 3 days before is not going to make me well rested for that third day. Like, I need to have gotten there over time and like already been doing it for a little bit before I feel well rested. Ooh, and next one. I was reading this really cool article about goal setting plans with your kiddo. I think it was from Attitude Magazine. And just talk to them a little bit about creating that positive mindset for school, that like they are going to be successful, that they are going to have friends. Even just one good friend is really all your kid needs. But whatever they're like feeling anxious about, it gives them a chance to kind of talk to you about, well, I'm really worried about what if I don't have any friends in my lunch period? You know, how you can attack those proactively, and just having this like discussion about how things are going to be successful, I think is just so important, not just for us, but for our kids too. And think about that goal setting ahead of time, like make time for those kind of discussions with your kids ahead of time so that they're going into school with a positive mindset of like, I'm going to be able to do this. I'm going to turn my homework in on time. I know I can do this, and things like that, that they can really help them push through when they're struggling in school, because you know what? Sometimes school's really hard. And then my last tip is block out the weekend before school starts to relax. Don't do any of that stuff. Like, have it all done before so that that last weekend you can just enjoy, not be stressed out. If you can even get ready like the whole week early, then just enjoy that last week. Like, go do all the last chance like pool time and go to the zoo and do all that fun stuff so that you're ending the summer on like a fun, stress-free note. You've got your routines in place. Your kids are feeling calm and you're feeling calm, and just creating that place where your home is that refuge for your kids, where they feel comfortable, they feel calm, they know what's coming, they know how to be successful. Just give yourself that space that week or the weekend before to just enjoy. So, Mama, that was a really lengthy list. Sorry, I was like, oh, I didn't realize how long I'd be talking here. But these are all really helpful things that I want you to have a chance to ponder, like, hey, what are the things that are going to work for our family and getting ready for this new time, this new season, preparing so that your school year for you and for your kids is setting off with a positive mindset where you're feeling calm and just that you're enjoying the next season instead of this like frazzled tizzy of new things for a month. So, successful mama, I know that you can take one or none. If you don't like me, hey, don't listen, I guess. Or all of these things and find a way to make your August and September as joyful as possible in these times of crazy. If you haven't had a chance, please head down to the bottom of the iTunes app and give me 5 stars so that we can keep on sharing the successful mama mindset with others and have a super awesome week. All right, I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
For more resources, classes, and community, head over to my website, motherhoodinadhd.com.